Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, Akmaduhu, Wasta'inuhu, Wasta'dihi, Wasta'filarahu. Ashadu la ilaha laduhu la sharika lahu, Ashadu anna Muhammad abduhu rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, Wassalatu wassalamu ala kulli muslimin Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise is due to Allah. I praise is my seeker, my seeker's assistance. I seek his guidance. I ask his forgiveness. I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, the one who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad, of over 1439, 40 years over that time ago, is his servant and his messenger. All praise is due to Allah. We seek his peace and blessings on the best among the prophets. Amen. Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise due to Allah who sent down upon us his book most clear in the last ayah, in the last verse he revealed. This day I have completed for you your religion, your way of life, your deen. And I completed my blessings and flavor upon you and chose al-Islam as your way of life. I advise you as well as I advise myself first to have regard, consciousness, awareness, taqwa, for Allah, the Most High, the Creator of all, and obey Him. Dear Muslim believers, again, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Ajuma mubarak. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Istikbaran. Fil ardi wa malrasti wa malrah subhanallah wa mahras subhanallah. I don't know why I'm having a hard time with this. Wa malrah wa malrah sayi wa la yi ya yikul al makhru subhanallah wal makh Rusayyu illa billahi filla yanturuna illa sunnatu sunnata alay walau walina falan Tahbida la sunnati Allahi tabdilan walan tahbida la sunnati Allahi tahwil. And we say, Salak Allah ad-Din, surely Allah speaks the truth. The expression is as follows. I seek refuge of Allah against the shaitan and reject it. Because of their arrogance on earth and their evil schemes, yet evil schemes overwhelm only those who plot them. Do they expect anything different given what happened to earlier people? You will never find any change in the way of Allah, in the way of God, and you will never find any deviation, any change in his way. And that is the 43rd ayat of the 35th surah of the Quran. And we say, surely Allah speaks the truth. And today's khutbah title, inshallah, is history has proven the only way is Allah's way. History has proven the only way is God's way. And in a reported hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, He said that Muhammad, peace and best be upon him, was reported to have said that there are three persons whom Allah will not look at on the day of resurrection, nor will he purify them. And there shall be a severe punishment. The first one is a man who possesses tons of water, and on the way he withheld it from travelers. The second would be a man who gave a pledge of allegiance to be a ruler, and he gave it only for worldly benefits. And if the ruler gives him something, he is not satisfied. He gets satisfied. And if the ruler withholds something from him, he gets dissatisfied. And I'm not going to read the rest of that report, the hadith. But dear believers, in today's khutbah, you know, and I'm always thankful to be guided first by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I had this thought that this ayah truly addresses a lot of the current situations that we're dealing with. And I'm going to say this as I begin, that this is inside of a series of ayahs, a series of verses in the Quran where Allah is telling Muhammad, peace be upon him, to come to the Quraysh. Because at the time, they wanted their own guy. You know, it was some of them that were looking at, you know, some of the other, you know, they knew that the Christians had a guy, they knew that the Jews had got a guy, and they, you know, some of them felt like, you know, they didn't have a guy. It was just a small piece of them. And they knew that also the history had also showed that other people had sought guides. The history, you know, so these ayahs came to give that history lesson that there were those that wanted a guide. And they even swore that if they were to receive one, that they would do right. But this is also not just about the Muslims, but it's also about what happened and happens to places that receive warners from God. These not just being sent with the Quran, but those, again, sent with guidance from God. And they were prophets, alayhi salam. But the issue was the same. The people asked and sought help, so they claim. Then, when they got it, let me read the preceding ayat. Allah says in the Quran, as it is, they swear by God with their most solemn oaths that if a warner should ever come to them, they would follow his guidance better than any other communities. But now that a warner has come unto them, that increases their aversion. Now let me say this. Now, not everyone did not listen to the call. Some people listened to the call. The issue is that for those who did reject the call, it increased their aversion. And this is the common expression that's used in the way it's translated. And it's a strong dislike. It's a disinclination. So if we take that understanding, we think of just for a second, we think first about Muhammad, who, when they heard his call, became even more hateful. They became even more disinclined to do the right thing. And when we take the other figures in scriptures and look at those who were against them, it was always the leadership. It was always those who seemed to have most to lose by changing their ways or giving up something they felt that was theirs and nobody else's. This is ours. We're entitled to it. This belongs to nobody else. So Allah continues in the Quran in these ayahs by saying, because of their arrogance on earth and their evil schemes. So the word is istakbaran, and it means arrogance. And this word, the root, it means to become hard. Hard. This is exactly what the Quraysh became when Muhammad, peace be upon him, came with the Quran. They became hard. And this is exactly what every leadership has done whenever a warner, whenever a prophet came to them, that leadership became hard. When it came with the guidance of God, it got hard. It became hard. It became arrogant. And this word used by Allah is a key, because not only did they become arrogant and hard, they also became, and the word is wahmakrasayi, plotting to do evil. They plotted to do evil. So they were planning a scheme. They were becoming so hard in their natures, they were plotting and planning to do evil things in the land. And a lot of times it's translated the land, but we know Ardi. Ardi is the earth. The earth, the whole earth. So they have become arrogant enough that they think that they can run evil schemes all over the earth. Did you hear what I said? They get so arrogant, they think they can go all over the earth and just run evil schemes, plot, do whatever they want to do all over the earth. I hope you see where this is leading. First, the whole earth is a loss. God has control of the whole earth. God says the earth is spacious and it is my masjid. It is my house of worship. And he also says that they plan and he plans. And he is the best of planners. And when you have become so arrogant and think that you can just go all over the earth and do whatever you want and scheme and plot evil, you are the shaitan nature. This is reality. And looking at today, looking at the world, we can see this clearly. Now, then Allah says, yet evil schemes overwhelm only those who plot them. So this word, yahiku, it means overwhelm, a meaning of overwhelm, but it has a meaning of enclosing, surrounding, circling. This doesn't mean that plots will not work from time to time. That's obvious. This doesn't mean they won't be successful for a time, and in turn making them even become more arrogant, right? Allah says in the Quran that he's going to give them their time, make them think they're successful. And I'm not giving this kickball calling nobody the big Satan. We're above that in our thinking. We're above that because we've had clear leadership in Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in our Imam, radiallahu anhu. We don't have to worry about who the big Satan is. We know where the big Satan is. I'm just looking at this in terms of then and now. Because living during history means you better understand history. Because those who are in, those who are those arrogant schemers, they're plotting to repeat it. They're telling you, we want to repeat that. But Allah is El Alim. He's the all-knowing. And he's telling us that their schemes only go back on them. And he is telling us that it will come back on those who plot them. But back to this word. This word also means family. It means people, right? And it also means house. The house. So listen to this. The house of representatives. House of, I'm just saying. I'm going to leave it there. Let me move forward. Allahu Akbar. Allah continues. Then, do they await except the way of former peoples? Now, we must understand this. Allah tells us in the Quran that there are those who, when guidance came to them, they replied. And this is also for those before revelation of the Quran. See, this is not just about what happened when Muhammad came to the Quraysh. This is about what happened when Ibrahim came. This is about what happened when Moses came. This is about what happened when Job came, when Noah came. This happened with all scripture. You look through all scripture. These are the reactions that these figures got when they came with the guidance of God. They replied, they said, sufficient for us is that upon which we find our fathers practicing, right? Now, it's just two ayahs that stuck out with me when I looked that up. And the statement basically are the same, but in these two statements, when I was studying these two statements, one means to just walk precisely behind in the Arabic. One means to walk precisely behind. Foot, I mean, that means you walk in the same footprint, exactly precisely behind. Look, when we look at this time we live in, change is not sitting well for a whole bunch of people, right? They want to follow the ways of their fathers. Change doesn't sit well for some of us. We can be honest about that too. They don't want to live how this new world is formed. Their fathers did not have to be bothered with these type of things, right? They don't want to have that way of life. But today is all about Allah's way. Every day is about Allah's way. Allah says, you know, the word is sunnah, right? The word is sunnah, but it's commonly known as sunnah. We know that word. We get caught up in that word, right? We hung up on that word, right? We so hung up on that word that we just put it on Muhammad, peace be upon him, when we don't really realize that it's really Allah sunnah that we should be worrying about. So the arrogant ones wish to follow the sunnah of the who came before them. This means the mode of life, the behavior, the example. Even if that was the wrong example, or the world has changed. And as I close this first part, they still want to follow it. They want to go back to it. They don't want to change. And we can see that now in the lives we live today. They want to hold on to that. Even if it means ending up like the former peoples, right? That's what Allah says. This is the Quran. The former arrogant ones of the past. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Ameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. History has proven the only way is God's way. So Allah tells us in the Quran to go search and see the ruins of the past, right? See what got them where they're at, what happened to them. Even in the Quran, in the Quran, we have a chapter, Rome is the translation, right? This was an empire. We know this is an empire. That's history. The Quraysh was an empire. So many empires have been defeated. That's how the ayah starts. So it says about Rome, but we know that so many empires have been defeated. Because if they were living by the standards, you know, of arrogance and hard treatment of those that they were over, it is against what is being established by God. One thing that has not changed in all of this is God. He is the ever constant, right? He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. And when Allah says, and you will never find any change in the way of God, and you will never find any deviation in his way. Now we have God telling us that his sunnah, his way, does not change. It is his way that has the guidance. It is his way that will stand the test of time. And I had to say that because I want to go back to Rome. It is the example I'm going to use today. Allah says to us that the arrogance in the earth and the plotting of evil only encloses the ones who do that. And they wait just to be like the ones of the past. So Rome was an empire, right? Like so many empires that thought it would never end. They thought it would never end. They thought it would run forever. They thought it would be great again, right? What seemed to bring down Rome? One reason was economic troubles. It was a severe financial crisis for Rome. They were going through a severe financial crisis. They had constant wars. You know, overspending was taking what the treasury had inside of it away. Oppressive taxation. Inflation widened the gap between the rich and the poor. And when they tried to tax the rich, they fled the country. Also, there were labor problems. They were so dependent on slave labor that when the labor dried up because they couldn't keep affording the wars, other countries began to have just as much commerce, and it hurt Rome. Overexpansion was an issue. And have you ever heard the phrase, we can police the world? Overexpansion, right? Well, Rome thought it could do just that too. It costs money to do that. It costs people to do that. And when you have enemies, and then you have allies who are really enemies, it's hard to keep up. Another downfall of Rome was government corruption. Instability in the political system. The size of Rome became hard to govern. There was civil war that put Rome into chaos. You know, they had over 20 leaders in 75 years. You know, if you want to look that at, look it up, just put it in terms for us, that's like having a new president in every 3.5 years. The Senate was unable to control the emperor or all the emperors due to widespread corruption inside the Senate. Civic pride had declined, and the citizens lost trust in the leadership. This is all happening in Rome. And the last point I'll make about what happened in Rome was the rise of Christianity and the loss of traditional values. Historians believe that the rise of the new faith seems to have helped Rome's demise. It is said because the new faith caused them to look at the emperor who they viewed as being, they always viewed the emperor as being divine. And they always looked at the government being a deity itself. And because they looked at it differently with this new faith, then all of a sudden that began to crumble. These are some of the reasons for the downfall of Rome. Now let's bring them up to date. Let's come to 2019. Where can we see economic troubles? Where can we see labor issues here in the world? Right? We can talk about financial troubles. I mentioned this at home the last couple of nights, the Big Short. The financial situation in the world. These bubbles, these troubles, these problems that we have in these financial situations. You know, the labor issues, right? This immigration problem. You know, there's no jobs. So they want to blame the jobs on immigration. Most of these people don't want to come for jobs. They want to come to escape. The what's going on in these countries to survive what's happened in these countries, because their place has been affected by the interference of the arrogant person who's come into their countries and plotted evil, right? Schemed in their countries all over the world. Overexpansion is a problem. And now that you can't afford to do all that, you have to pull back. So they say you reap what you sow, right? And I said this at the Ramadan session. There's a quote that by Tupac did in his song. He said, "You got money for guns and war, but none to feed the poor." Why does every budget seem to be the biggest defense budget ever? Every time there's a budget, it's always the biggest defense budget ever. And I'm just bringing Rome into the current situation, because everything I'm saying now was what's happening in Rome. Military overspending is nothing new. And it takes how much away from people who need it and who are being oppressed, that are paying into the tax system to pay for these things. Government corruption and political instability. I think that's self-explanatory. But if you've been in a cave, a coma, or just off the grid for the last 3 years, just come see me after Juma, and I'll bring you up to date. Popular votes don't mean nothing. That's obvious. Criminal investigations don't mean nothing. Not qualified positions for positions don't mean nothing. It is designed to kill a spirit, and for those who still want to engage in it, they gerrymander everything else. Now, the last issue I mentioned, the rise of a new faith, right? Now that we have all these opportunities that are happening now where faiths are working together, we have faiths that wouldn't even look at each other, sitting down working together now, because we see the realization that we have a common goal to come together, because if we don't, we're going to be in the ashes of the fire. That's a threat. This is why when we look at all the constant throughout all of this, throughout all the time, we see Allah and His way, His sunnah. It is His sunnah that has priority over everything. It is His sunnah, His way, that the Qadr we adhere to, we know that what is going to happen is only going to happen by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The arrogant leads to only downfalls. It leads to only having it come back on those who are doing it. Allah is telling us that in His way, you will find no alteration, any change. You know, when you alter something, it is not the same as the original. And what Allah has for us, it can never be changed. It can never be substituted by the plots of those who want to get dominance in the world. This is all about dominance in the world. Period. You know, Sunday during the Talim, we was reading Imam Muhammad's book, and Raleigh Lionhu, and he has a quote in there. The first quote we read, and when it came across, I said, well, that helps my study, because I don't have to look nothing up. He said, "Those who use deception to put themselves in position to rule over the common human beings in the world, turn the light on for themselves in the world, But the same light that is lighting up the world for them is unseen by the majority of the people. That is clever, to make the truth stranger than fiction so that nobody can see it except them, the favored ones they call the elite. The arrogance you must have to want to rule over people and keep them under your deception. That you're willing to do whatever it takes to keep the game going. It means even having to pay the price yourself, right? Even if you have to lose some of those who are on your own team, right? Collateral damage. Even if they got to lose some of their own team, they're willing to sacrifice their own just so they can keep what they got. They don't want an educated society. That's what the light that the imam is referring to. That's education. Allah says in the Quran, they want to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths, but Allah refuses except to perfect his light, although the disbelievers dislike it. The light is on. It will never be out. But it must be those who are not living in the fiction. It must be those who are living in the factual world. The warners, the messengers, the prophets, they all came not to the elite. They came to those who were the oppressed. They came to liberate the minds of the people and let them see it doesn't take armies to win the battles. It's not going to be the armies that are going to win the battles, right? It was the Hadith reporter, Hadith, said the ink of the scholar is more powerful than the sword, right? Can't argue with that, right? So it's not going to take the armies that's going to win the battle. It's going to take the intellectual capital. And there's a fable about the frog and the mouse. Said a young mouse was in search of an adventure, and he was on the bank of a pond where a frog lived, right? And when the frog saw the mouse, he swam to the bank and he said, "Won't you pay me a visit? I can promise you a good time if you do." So the mouse did not need much coaxing, and he was very anxious to see the world and everything in it. But though he could only swim a little, and he did not dare risk going into the pond without some help. So the frog had a plan. Said he had a plan. He tied the mouse's leg to his own with a reed, and then they jumped into the pond, and he dragged the foolish companion with him. The mouse had soon enough, and he wanted to get back on the land. But the frog had other plans. He pulled the mouse under the water and he drowned him. But before he could untie the mouse off his leg, a hawk came sailing down on the pond, and seeing the body of the mouse floating in the water, the hawk swooped down and he grabbed the mouse and the frog. He had both of them. Now the moral of the story is those who seek to harm others often harm themselves through their own deceit. The mouse is those who want to live in the fictional world. They want the adventure. They want to live in the deception because it's excitement there. Don't think that it ain't fun. Shaitan knows what he's doing. The frog is the one who doesn't want to let the mouse have the reality of the real world. Matter of fact, wants to have the mouse die in the deception because he has a plan. He has a scheme that he has all over the world. Think about this as we look at this world. The mouse has a goal in life, but it did not want to live up to it. The frog was the arrogant ones who lead the world. So it thought that after a time, it had an answer for what it was doing. And it's answering now because the hawk is swooping down now. And it's knocking the brains out of the falsehoods in the world. Allah says his is the only reality. His is the only way that is the established in the reality. There's no alteration. His is also said that, you know, there's no deviation. This means there's nothing will depart from the established course that Allah has given us. The Arabic word means nothing will come between or be changed. Allah's way. His sunnah is the only way. These empires, they come and go. These leaders, they come and go. Allah's sunnah is here, his way. Allah's way never leaves. This is not just for Muslims. Because in the Bible, there's a companion verse. And we have a guest here, so I'm going to give you a companion verse. In Proverbs 26:27, It says, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and a stone will come back on the one who starts it rolling. Wow. Now I feel like a preacher. We accept all books. We accept all messengers in the Islam. If you dig a hole for someone to fall into it, you'll be raiding it yourself. Right? That's universal. You grab the mouse and you say you grab the mouse and drown it, the hawk will get you too. Your actions have consequences. It is that arrogance that leads some into those actions. It is that arrogance that led Shaitan to be our number one enemy. But now that first word that I mentioned, and it is added, it's takbaran. It comes from the same word that we get Allah's attribute, El Kabir, right? The great, the most great. This is no mistake. That's something that we can have inside of us. We can't be God. But we can have these attributes inside of us. It can also be something that drives us to want to turn the world into a place that it is. You know, they want to be so great, mate. Okay? That they got so much arrogance that they're going the wrong way with it. Allah is Akbar. Because these empires want to be great over God. It has led them to an arrogance that of a level that's unheard of. That's where we're at right now. And the opening report of Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the three persons whom Allah would not look at on the day of resurrection, nor will he purify them. And theirs will be a severe punishment. I'm only going to repeat the one that matters that I'm using. A man who gave a pledge of allegiance to a ruler and gave it only for worldly benefits. If the ruler gives him something, he gets satisfied, and the ruler withholds something from him, he gets dissatisfied. We can see these type of people and these type of rulers in history. They want something. They only do something for benefit. You know, we ought to be different rulers in this world because we're created that status. All human beings are created to have status in this world, to be the rulers. But we're to rule in the way Allah has given us, with compassion, with justice, with love, with fairness. And as I close, brothers and sisters, for us to establish what we must do, because Allah already is established, we must work, we must learn, we must create the community that is the model that will show the world that the hope is not gone, the world is not gone, it's not over, because Allah is still here, Allah's way is still here. All that stuff they're doing is going to come back on them. What we got to do is what we got to do. The world is not forsaken, as they say. The world is not cursed. It's just some that have been in charge that are. Because if I was to sit here and say, boy, that sounds like a curse, what I just read here. Because they go plotting and scheming and doing evil, and it's going to come back on them. That sounds like a curse. And if nothing else, history has proven the only way is Allah's way. And inshallah, I have given something of benefit today, which all praise is due to Allah. And of course, if any errors, I'm responsible for, because I'm human. And Allah is perfect. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana fi rakati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Ameen. I have a few announcements.